You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh, fuck. I already opened my drink. Let's
okay.
just go.
I got you, dude. I got you.
Oh.
There it is.
Hey. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the 12FL Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me are the good and golden boys. I'm talking about 365 Days of Horror and Brennicide. Fellas, how's it going?
Welcome back, Joe.
It's good to be back. I'm very happy to be here in my home with power so that I can broadcast.
Literally nobody wanted to listen to the show while you were gone, which speaks volumes about my abilities.
You know, maybe it's just one of those things. Slow news week, you know, half the country being without power. The pod was not at top of mind. I feel confident that this week is going to be way better, though. I heard that, you know, after Breno, you relentlessly bullied Jordan, that he relented and finally got a new phone. So congratulations on changing a Luddite's ways.
Jordan, you got a new phone?
I did get a new phone. Before we get into that, I want Joe to apologize, for it is his fault that Texas had flooding and winter storms, and for electing Republicans. It's all your fault.
I had long suspected as much. You know, I know that Texas decided to deregulate the entire power grid something like 10 years before I could even vote, but I think it could be my fault. I was sitting in the dark, seeing various liberals on Twitter that were their hearts were breaking for all of the people freezing to death in their apartments, but it was their fault, and I really appreciate that at least a few people were pushing back on that horseshit.
See, I saw more people pushing back than seeing the actual people saying stupid things.
That's good.
Right.
That is good. I think maybe maybe my feed was just incredibly cursed.
For me, it was just like, why is everyone yelling about this? I'm not seeing anything.
I got to tell you, I'm really glad that I'm recording with you guys today and not like a few days ago, because I don't know if I've ever been angrier in my life. I had lost all of the chains that bound me to humanity, and I'm just ready to burn everything down. And I'm a little bit better now, so I'm ready to do a good pod instead of a mean pod.
Well, listen, I mean, for what it's worth, Massachusetts, very consistently blue state. We have all of the infrastructure necessary to deal with weather emergencies. I've been without power for 2 weeks before due to an ice storm. Like, it's on, like, we can talk shit all we want, but it happens to the quote-unquote best of us.
So, legitimately, I think if I would have stayed in my house, I might have gotten very, very sick or worse, because when I went to go check on the pipes, I came back a few days later when it was safe to drive, and it was colder in my house than it was outside. What do you do for heat in that scenario?
You gotta have your warm room. You stick to one warm room, usually upstairs, where you keep the door closed. You put towels up by like any cracks in windows and doors, and you stay together with the other family members and kind of huddle around for body heat as best you can.
My answer was going to be two hoodies and a cigarette.
That's if you want to stay alive and be cool.
Yeah.
I was wearing two pairs of, you know, like the big heavy Wolverine socks at once, and my toes were still fucking freezing. I was like, I am doing something wrong, because I know those northerners can do this better.
You got to be careful with the layers, because if you put too much on, you start to sweat, and then, you know, the sweat interacts with the cold and makes you colder.
God damn you, body.
You've betrayed me for the last time.
Yeah, human beings are just evolutionary failures. We were not designed to deal with the world or how we've modernized it ourselves. It's just
we should have stayed in Mesopotamia. We fucked up by leaving that.
Niall was right.
I really hope that everybody that, you know, listens to this show, if you're in the South and you got fucked hard like I did, I hope you're doing okay. If you need anything, I'm in a better spot right now. Please let me know. I will help you get what you need. That is the Joe thrash and kill guarantee. But rather than focusing on, you know, this sad shit, you know, these failures of the state and, you know, the horrific nature of climate change and all that shit, how about we talk about my favorite thing, which is Dell Metal bullshit.
The failures of the scene, if you will.
The failures of the scene are much more interesting to me, because I can grapple with that a little bit better. I can grapple with some dickhead with hair down to his dick that, like, you know, just has terrible opinions. That's easier for me to contend with than the failures of the state.
I feel like I know that guy.
We all know that guy. He stinks. He smells terrible.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? We actually have a fair amount on the docket today, so... I'm just going to throw it out there. You fellas, what strikes your fancy? What do you want to climb into first?
Well, we got a bit of band beef, which is always like, it's always a tasty entree to kind of get into on any given one of these shows. Literally anytime someone talks bad about a former band or a band that they're in, it's always good stuff. As journalists, we are flies to that shit, man. That's just what
that is catnip for me, man. Like, you got a couple of guys that have been, you know, wildly successful while hating each other for years. I want to hear all about that.
So specifically, I'm talking about Chris Adler, who was the former drummer from Lamb of God.
I believe that a few weeks back, you introduced me to footage of him beating the shit out of Randy Blythe.
I mean, Randy held his own for a bit, but Chris Adler finally fucking decked him, and, you know.
Chris Adler passed the guard.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, you know, introduced his fist to his lead singer's face.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there might be some kind of bad blood there.
Maybe. But what the headline reads is, Chris Adler says Lamb of God was quote-unquote toxic, and the goal of his new band Firstborn is to have fun.
Well... I commend that. If you're starting a new band these days, your primary goal should be to have fun. I think that's the most realistic goal, especially because you're never going to reach the echelon of Lamb of God ever again in your life.
Nope. And I guess this band he's starting, Firstborn, it's with this guitarist, Myrone. Someone help me.
Marone. Calm. All right. Sorry. He just goes by that name. That's it.
That's it. He doesn't have a first name or a last name. It's just Marone. He's like Madonna, you know?
Yeah, it's exactly like Madonna. Madone.
Just like I'm Breno. He's like Marone. It's just how it is. So
that's tight.
So I guess this guy shreds, and you know, Chris Adler shreds himself on the drums the way you shred on drums. I don't know what you would call that. You know, hits the skins, if it were. But apparently he went on to the Metal Sucks podcast, and they just kind of talked about Firstborn for a bit. But being journalists, we need that beef. So they asked some questions about Lamb of God. So I'll just get into the quote that Adler, that we're all pulling this shit from. So what Adler wrote is, now discovering Marone's music, it didn't necessarily start us off into a process of making music together. Shortly after that was kind of my departure from Lamb, where it's like, well, I'm not leaving this because I don't want to play music, and I'm not leaving this because I don't want to play the kind of music Lamb is playing. I'm leaving this because it's just toxic everywhere, everything, and I've got to be a better father, husband, person than what this is dragging me into.
That seems valid, you know. Also, he's probably stacked up enough chips where he doesn't have to do this shit if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, he continues. He says, and one of the things that happened in this conversation that I was having with Marone, which I still think back on, and at the time I didn't really quite understand it as much as I do now, I asked him, do you want to get together and maybe throw some files around and see what happens? And he was like, yeah, but it's got to be fun. He didn't say it like that, but I understand what he was saying. What I do and what I'm known for is not particularly, like, it's not a birthday party. It's not fun. That doesn't mean if you're good at addition, it doesn't mean you should stop there and keep doing addition for the rest of your life. Maybe you should take algebra. Maybe you should take calculus. Let's move on from that point. And I know I'm known for that particular thing, but I was like, oh man, I don't know how long it's been since I've actually had fun doing this. And I love that vibe about him when he's talking about Marone, I think. It was just great to think about that for a second. Oh, wait, I can still, the same way I wanted to when I was 14, 15, make a band and have fun.
It's how Stella got her groove back, you know?
Yeah, he's trying to have fun, which, you know, good for him. I guess when you get to that certain rock and rolling age where the rocking and the rolling doesn't feel so rocking anymore, you got to get come back to rolling, I think. So I think the money quote is him saying there's a lot of hate from fans like, oh, my God, you left Lamb of God for this. What the fuck is this? Which kind of gives you some insight as to like maybe this might musically be something questionable. But he responds, it's like fun. Like I'm just living my life with a smile, because before it was like frown town all the time. Like, what the hell is going on here? We don't know what the hell is going on. Hopefully everybody beats the shit out of each other and we just get a check. So, you know, it's just time for me as an adult to kind of move on. So apparently that like tour bus thing we saw from years and years ago, maybe that's just kind of how it was all the time.
Yeah. What year was that tour bus thing?
Forever ago. We're talking like early
2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 2005, 6, 7.
I've never been in a successful band, but I have had a lot of bad jobs and, sticking with that for 15 years, it does, you know, kind of seem a little bleak, you know?
Well, this all sounds very healthy and positive for him, which is a nice change of pace for these usual stories that we have on the show. So, you know, he, like you said, he probably has a decent amount of money from whether it's album sales, and merch sales and touring, and he has a family to the point now he doesn't have to be miserable all the time. He still gets to play drums and it's not so pressure filled, and you don't have to go on tour, you don't have to be Slayer's opening band for 2 years. You just make some music, some people that you get along with, and you sell a couple records, maybe you go on a tour or two, and you know, you slowly become a dad and you become an older man. And you just live your life, and it's stress-free as much as possible.
It seems like he is thrown off the shackles of expectations and is just, like, being a normal person now. And I think that we should all hope to get there one day.
Yeah, it's good that he is able to make that decision now and to be able to still play drums and just be away from the bad stuff. It did make me think, though, about other well-known drummers who have left popular bands, and I kept coming up with names. It's like Dave Lombardo from Slayer, Joey Jordison from Slipknot, Bill Ward, Black Sabbath. I wonder if why that is. Like, what the is there a power dynamic going on where the drummers just are willing to give up being in their popular bands? Like, why is that?
Did Joey Jordison leave, or did he get fired?
I think a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Well, depends on who you ask, I think.
Yeah.
You guys have had bands in your life. Generally, the hardest thing to get is a competent drummer. So you can overlook a lot of, you know, character clashes because somebody can actually play their instrument well. It could just be this was never, you know, a great personality fit for anybody in the first place, but he's the only drummer in town that's worth half a shit.
Right.
And that person's usually in about 10 other bands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I could go back in time, I would have never picked up the guitar, a cursed instrument, and then Sid would have learned the drums.
It's hard to be a drummer, like, in that band dynamic, because most of the time you just have to wait while everybody checks out their cool pedals and actually just, like, writes the part of the music that everybody relates to and fucking tunes their guitars and shit, and you just sit there being the human beat machine, like, waiting for your cue. Because if you try to do anything on drums while the guitarists and bassists are trying to figure out their stuff, you're gonna get screamed at. So
Oh yeah, it's I so many times in my life we've stopped fucking around. And you know, the drummer, you're tucked away in the back. If you want to be a cool rock and roll guy, like, it sucks. You don't get any attention. You don't get to get in on the stage banter. you don't get the limelight unless you're like a Don Henley type that has the headset microphone while you're playing.
Can I just say that Asteroid show we went to, Jordan, like that drummer of that band, he had some fucking energy, man. He had more stage presence than anyone on the stage. And they were
wearing Hawaiian shirts, so they didn't need stage presence.
Yeah, but him in the back, man, he was way into his own music. It was great to see. He's like singing along, and he might as well have been standing up while playing. It was just it was a good show.
It's tough enough to be a competent drummer. Like there's the 1% of the 1% that it can actually like be engaging while doing it. Good on that guy. Good on him.
Right. And good for on the ones that can't be, they turn their drum sets into roller coasters.
Yeah, that's the tightest shit Tommy Lee ever did. Literally the only cool thing he's ever done.
Just like have 40 cymbals, only use hi-hat and snare.
Jordan, you sent me a picture of Motley Crue circa 2021 last night, and this is one of the most cursed artifacts I've seen in a while.
It's from an article about how they were supposed to do a big stadium tour, like their final, super, totally real guys, final stadium tour with, I think, Def Leppard. And obviously that didn't happen, and this article popped up, I guess just pausing, like, is the stadium tour still going to happen? And it's just a badly, badly Photoshopped picture where it looks like none of the members are actually in the same picture. It looks like I know it's supposed to be a stadium, it almost looks like a soccer pitch.
Yeah, it does.
It's very green, and all the colors are very sharp. And there's Mick Mars, who has been ill for a very, very long time. But because of this picture, it looks like they're Weekend at Bernie-ings it with him. Like, he died a few years ago, and they're just kind of propping him up and, like, bringing him along. Because he's just chalk white in this picture. He's in a big trench coat. He's got, I think, sunglasses and a hat on. He very much looks like a corpse.
They just got, like, a marionette just whittling his fingers on the guitar above the stage.
Yeah, I wish they would just let him rest.
I wish they would just rest.
I don't think we need any more Motley Crues in 2021. You know, take a look at Congress. That's a motley enough crew enough, am I right?
Good name, Dennis Miller.
We talk a lot of shit about how just fat and awful looking Vince Neil is, but I mean, look, if I were to be that loaded and have that much money, obviously I would just spend it on cocaine and burritos. Like, what else is there? You know, I don't want to go on fucking tour, man. I want to hang out and eat Quiznos.
Just do a cameo. People are obviously willing to pay the band members way too much money for not a lot in return.
Right. Just objectively bad cameos, as we covered in an episode y'all should check out.
Great episode. A+ episode. But let's keep this train moving here.
Wait, does Mick Mars have a cameo?
I don't think he has the time for that show.
I don't want to promote it if he does. Everyone leave that man alone.
Yeah, give him some space.
You could just find the guy who does the voice for the Crypt Keeper and just ask him to do it as Mick Mars.
If we want to throw back all the way to like maybe the first 5 episodes of this podcast, I think we went through the history of every member of Motley Crue, and Mick Mars is the only one that is not like a total outright fucking scumbag. So please give him space, give him time. Don't make him do this shit anymore.
Absolutely. So yeah, as you said, we wanted to move on. What else we got going on this week, fellas?
Jordan, you found another incredibly cursed thing. This fucking hardcore band from New York.
Speaking of dying.
Yeah. God damn, man.
So for the most part, hardcore as a genre, it's not a conservative style of music. You'd agree with that, right? For the most part.
Unless you're listening to, like, you know, One Life Crew or, you know, Pit Boss 2000 or shit like that, which is the most insanely right-wing shit you can think of.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are right-wing, you know, skinhead stuff, but that's very much off on its own, away from things, unlike NSBM, which just kind of gets lumped into real labels sometimes, and members from real bands are oopsie-daisy in some of these bands. For the most part, the racist hardcore stuff is just like, you're over there, you're having your Hammerskins fest, we want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And then there's the occasion occasional like libertarian hardcore band like Backwards that we talked about many years ago.
I hate the fact that I keep seeing that guy pop up everywhere. He's really wormed his way into the libertarian ecosphere.
Because they're psyched as hell that they have a person of color talking about them and making them, oh, look, we have one.
Yeah. We got one. We're legitimate.
The kept POC. It's great.
I came across someone else on Twitter posted this, and forgive me, I just don't remember who did it. A band from Riverhead, New York, which I am unfamiliar with. New York is a big state. Band called Gutter Life, and it's spelled gutter, no space, and life is in all caps.
Gutter Life!
Gutter Life!
Right, it's Gutter Life! So the I bet you the one with the space and everything capitalized and punctuated properly. That one was probably taken, you know.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
So on the Bandcamp page for Gutter Life, it says Gutter Life began as a studio project in 2013 by vocalist guitarist Matt Van Rossum. The band retired on stage in 2018 at their hometown Warp Tour, which I hope it was for like because they won a battle of the bands and sold the most tickets.
No, they were the parking lot band.
After a long break, Gio returns once again as a solo act. Ooh. To reflect on the COVID lockdown.
This is what we need. This is the thing that will bring us all together.
The end result is cancel after listening.
God damn it.
A provocative EP that aims to poke fun at the current climate and trigger the cancel happy left. You think just poking fun. Matt's just having fun with you guys. No big.
God damn it. The, you know, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but the word cancel makes me irrationally angry now.
Because it means nothing.
It means nothing. And again, we'll get into that in a little bit, but tell me a little bit more about cancel after listening.
I'm laughing at the idea of a hardcore band just poking fun.
Just like having a larf.
So not hardcore.
Just having a larf, yeah.
Just joshing with you.
Just a bit of a laugh.
X, have a laugh, X.
Just faffing.
So we do have lyrics for the 3-song EP, and do we want to dramatically read them, or do we just want to get through them as fast as possible?
I don't know, man. Let's take a look at this first one. We'll make a game time decision as to how we handle the rest of it.
So should we switch paragraph to paragraph? How do you want to do this?
Let's do, how about we each take one song and run through it?
Okay, sounds that's good. Fine. Who wants to take the first one?
Jordan.
I'll take it. You know what? Uh-oh. I'm at a hardcore show. I'm gonna crowd kill this whole episode, and I'm just gonna take what's mine. So, because enough's enough. That's the title track. Okay.
Without an apostrophe in enough's, by the way.
That's right. I won't be taking your vaccine. So run and tell Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, and Trump to suck my president back to the hell he was conceived, where he should stay. In quarantine.
Well, so they can suck my president back to hell where he was. That's kind of a mixed metaphor, I guess.
You make me sick. Then all of a sudden, you got a cure for it. Well, I call bullshit. I am not a sucker like the rest of the sheep. COVID-19, you've got to be fucking kidding me. This shit is weak. I'm not sorry if this offends you.
Oh, fuck, watch out. This dude's not sorry if he offends me.
Enough is enough. I'm tired of keeping it PC. That quote-unquote pussy chatter annoys me.
Fucking throwing rhymes.
And what's up with peaceful protesting? Put down the signs. Pick up your guns and start shooting.
I kind of agree with that one.
We've lost our minds. We've lost our jobs. Out on the street like fucking bums. Can't play no music. Close the clubs. Enough's enough. I'm not sorry. We have a right to be fucking angry. Thank you.
That's very good. Very good. Thank you for joining Masterpiece Theater with Gutter Life. Fortunately, we've got more songs.
Yeah.
Boy. We got this next one up. It's called Canceled 19, which doesn't... Like, that doesn't work as wordplay.
That's shower thoughts right there.
Yeah. Jordan, you want to take this one?
Can I beat Masterpiece Theater? I mean, what should I do? How do you top that?
I have no idea. I don't know what to do with this fucking thing.
Just read it as a vampire.
Yeah, that might be good, actually.
Yeah, let's try that.
You came for me, bleh. Think up the past, because you're nothing, and that's a fact. Jealousy is your response to success. Fuck you all. You're still nothing. No matter what you say, stand for something, because I stand by every motherfucking word I say. Bleh. Because you're the cancel culture.
No.
I'm the one you hate. By next week, you'll all have forgotten me. True. 2-minute revolutions make yourselves feel great. I'll fucking kill myself before I say sorry.
Is that a promise?
Yeah.
You'll just have to cancel me. Because I'll never say sorry. You'll just have to come for me because you'll never silence me. I won't shut the fuck up. I'll stand my ground. Yo, fuck this crowd. Because in this country, we have free speech. And you'll never take that from me, bitch. Bleh.
Goddamn. All right. This dude's pretty with it. Pretty happening. Pretty tough. Pretty cool.
Got thoughts.
Our final track here is called Take It Off. Not to be confused with Set It Off, which is a much better song by a much better band.
Oh, isn't Take It Off the Donnas?
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about the Donnas in... nigh on 67 years now.
Go on and take it off, take it off.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a much worse song than that. So sorry about that. Take it off, you piece of shit. You walk around like hypocrites. The irony of girls and boys all screaming, my body, my choice. I don't know what the irony of that is. I'm not quite there. We'll continue. When someone wants to walk unmasked, you swarm around like hordes of rats. Why don't you pussies just stay home before you spread Stockholm Syndrome?
That is a clean rhyme if I ever heard one.
Just fucking dusting his hands off like, that's that.
He's got his Google Docs fucking tab open and he had to really just, he's like home, drome, tome, you know what? I'm going to take this shit to the next level. Here we go. So yeah, good times all around.
If you'd like to be the third person to purchase this on Bandcamp, your picture can be displayed for the low, low price of $5.
Yeah.
I would not do that personally. But you could. You could definitely go and do that.
Here are the two people that did buy it. Terrence Matlin. Wow, this guy looks very cool. And Zeke the Game Freak. And
all right.
It looks like this is the only album that Zeke ever bought. Actually, get this. The only albums that Zeke the Game Freak ever bought. He's got a collection of 4 albums. Do you know who made those 4 albums?
Who did it, Bruno?
Gutter Life! That's it.
You know, sometimes you put your music out there and there's no guarantee of what kind of response you're going to get, but it might change one game freak's life.
Yeah,
I'm just saying no one's ever seen Zeke the Game Freak and Matt Van Rossum in the same place at the same time.
Exactly. What I'm saying is that if you put up one of those flyers on, you know, a bulletin board and you got your phone numbers and the little tab of paper Old school move, just rip off one of the tabs, like right in the center right. You know what I'm saying? Make it look like one person was interested in whatever you're selling.
Oh, that's a good tip.
It's right. So I'm going to assume that Jordan might be onto something. You know, Zeke the Game Freak, a little sus, dude.
Well, you know, it worked, though. Because, you know, Zeke the Game Freak, if he is a sock puppet, he did convince this Terrence Matlin fella to purchase the record.
Yeah.
So there you go. Your tip worked. Sadly, it was not enough to carry on more records. I assume that any kind of virality this guy hoped for by putting out his unapologetically un-PC hardcore EP is over, and this just didn't quite hit the mark. Sorry, man. Not everybody gets to win in this grift.
He should have went to CPAC, where they had the Nordic Rune for a stage. He probably would have found an audience there.
Yeah, I did see that. I thought it was kind of interesting in a way that, you know, we're looking for Nazi symbols while people are just saying Nazi shit outright.
I mean, look, logistically speaking, you know, in all the time it took him to record and produce, what is it, 3 2-minute songs for an EP that you have to pay $5 for? Okay. Like, dude, you're like 7 months too late on this shit, at least.
Yeah, at you least. Missed the boat.
Definitely. Like, anti-masker shit. Yeah.
Yeah, if you like, see all of these people around you getting a big following by, you know, saying dumb shit, you want to get in on it too, but you got it. It's a pyramid scheme, bro. You got to be in it first. otherwise, you're just spending your time and money recording this dog shit fucking EP for Terrence.
It's a race to the bottom to race to the top.
And Terrence is definitely there.
But that was fun. I've been pretty fucking disconnected the last 2 weeks due to all of the circumstances and such. But I looked at Facebook this morning, and I saw a post from a band I've not thought of in quite a while. I don't know if they post very often anymore, because they don't do music or anything anymore. But Blast from Past Year, you remember Bolza, right?
That's the band with the swastika tattoos on his face, right?
Yeah, the guy that his father was like an African musician, and he decided to cover himself in swastikas for reasons that are, he explained in the past, and still don't make any sense to me. He has, you know, kind of chummed around for the entirety of his career with people that are, you know, outright, you know, what is the word for it? What would you describe the Destroyer 666 guy as?
I mean, Chud is always a good fallback at the end of the day.
You know, the lore is that KK War Slut got his tiny ass beaten by, I believe it was a Caller of Storms of Blasphemy for spouting off with some racial slurs. maybe that was a learning experience for him. I don't know. Maybe he's better now. Seems unlikely. Anyway, Bolza put up this post on Facebook, and I was kind of puzzled by it. It says, previous post deleted due to author's folly in assuming the internet may provide a fruitful platform for intelligent debate regarding freedom of speech. It's just like the most fucking head up your own ass thing I've ever read. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
It's just, that's something that has to follow absolute dog shit posts. Like, I can't even imagine what we missed.
Well, I was digging around in the comments trying to find, you know, the original post or some context or something. And I did. I didn't find the original post, but I did find the context. And it involves, you know, a figure we have discussed at length in the past. Would you believe it? He's up to, you know, some nonsense again. Ol Nurgi, you remember Ol Nurgi?
No, man, it's a fucking pandemic. Nurgle, can you take a break? Just for a while. Just stop.
Go to your room, Adam.
This is breaking news from the Mortis News Network.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mortis News Network. This is Mortis. Striper's Michael Sweet says, it's just a matter of time before the Bible is canceled. Michael Sweet, singer, guitarist, and the primary songwriter of the openly Christian hard rock band Striper, says that it's quote-unquote just a matter of time before the Bible is canceled. Earlier today, Sweet took to his Twitter to share a picture of the Holy Bible cover, and he included the following message.
We've been handing out Bibles for almost 40 years. For the first time in my life, I'm asking myself this question. I wonder how long it will be before this book is canceled. I know it may seem like a silly thought, but it's really not. It's just a matter of time. Frightening.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just a matter of time before I put my Satan dick up your fucking nose, Michael, you stupid pansy. Fuck you, man. How about you suck on my sweet aerial goblin balls, motherfucker? All right, back to your stupid fucking show.
Yeah. So I think the last couple of times we talked about Ole Nurgi, he was hyping up his exclusive, you know, I think it was like a $25 online stream for a concert that they were doing in a church. Woo!
So blasphemous. Whoa! Wow.
Hurt some feelings and there.
And before that, we had talked about Ole Nurgi for his insanely fake posts about getting kicked out of a YMCA. Yeah, and he later, by the way, admitted, yes, I was lying about this stupid bullshit made up story because I'm a fucking child that needs attention.
But it could have happened. Think about that.
Yeah, Ole Nurgi's back, thankfully, you know. And this one's making the rounds, not just in, you know, the gutter rags that we like to read. There's shit on here on The Independent, you know, the UK newspaper that is, you know, for the most part pretty authoritative on things, I guess. I don't know. I don't follow you fucking UK. Ole Nurgi, it's a headline here. It's Nurgle could be jailed for offending religious feelings. Launched GoFundMe. I figure, you know, this guy is an inveterate liar. He loves lying. He loves attention. And anything that he does followed with launch GoFundMe is going to immediately set off every red flag that I got.
Big sauce.
I'm being canceled. Look at all the interviews I'm doing with major newspapers and television stations. It's the same thing that, like, our conservative Republican Congress people do now. It's just they're not going to let me take a gun into the Senate chambers. Give me money.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Like every time you face some kind of adversity, like somebody calling you clown dick on Twitter, you need to fundraise off of it immediately.
Don't anyone call Marjorie Taylor Greene clown dick. Definitely don't go to her Twitter and do that.
So have you guys seen this story yet? Because this was news to me.
This is news to me as well. I actually haven't heard anything about this.
I saw headlines, but you know, I avoided it because one, Nurgle, and two, Poland is a hardcore conservative falling back into the Middle Ages when it comes with certain things dealing with religion or, you know, the Holocaust, where they're like, well, we weren't involved with it at all. Nothing bad happened between 1939 and 1945. We don't know anything about it. And they've been on his ass for years about blasphemy charges and things like that. So it's kind of like, what's new?
Yeah.
When this comes to this type of news?
Yeah, no, I nothing that we talk about on the show is in any way a defense of Poland. You can listen to hundreds of episodes that attest to that.
The episode of the submarine and the screen door was just a killer episode.
I'm really glad that you got to that joke before I could. That was the next breath I was taking.
And the rocket ship to the sun at night was just mwah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll read a little bit here. This one's from the Brooklyn Vegan, which I forgot that existed, but there you go, Brooklyn Vegan. Behemoth frontman Adam Ole Nurgi Darski, has launched a GoFundMe, he titled Ordo Blasphema for some reason, I don't know, after being convicted of, quote, offending religious feelings in his native Poland for posting a picture of himself standing on a painting of the Virgin Mary. Conservative legal group Ordo Luris and another group, the Patriotic Society, accused Nurgle of offending four people with the photo, according to state broadcaster TVP Info. That's a thing. he was reportedly fined 15,000 zloty for the offense and an additional 3,500 zloty in legal fees, which works out to almost $5,000. He could also be sentenced to prison. He's planning to contest the charges, just the latest to be levied against him by the Polish government, who is known for similar cases, according to the BBC. So from Ol Nurgi's GoFundMe, he has his own statement here. It says, my name is Ol Nurgi, and I am an artist from Poland. For over a decade, I have been confronted with numerous attempts to permanently destroy my career on the basis that I have harmed religious feelings. It sounds absurd to you, and I can assure you it is. Many Polish artists, including myself, have been dragged into courtrooms at our own significant cost to defend ourselves against nonsensical blasphemy laws made by tenuous politicians. Their intent is to censor anyone who does not conform to the archaic religious laws of our country. The time has come for Polish artists to fight back. Join us in the Ordo Blasphemia. Your donation will help fund a sustainable legal challenge to squash the existing and incoming bogus prosecutions. Help us reach the target so we can distribute to other artists facing their own legal challenges. If you're unable to donate, thank you for your support. Please keep checking back in and sharing updates. Okay, that seems reasonable, I guess. And that you have a repressive government that, is performatively religious for, some bullshit reasons. It's just, I'm having a hard time with this particular messenger on this particular campaign. Am I alone on that one, fellas?
I mean, he we've all seen the Instagram posts. He just kind of does this shit all of the time. And I mean, it's his country. He lives in it. He knows about these bullshit laws. Like, I'm not super stoked on the speed limit signs in my state, but if I fucking drive 90 and I get pulled over, whose fault is that? You know what I mean? That's all I can say. Like, dude, just if you live in a place where you can get fined exorbitant fees and go to jail for the things that you are doing all of the time, maybe change course a little bit, maybe move, just do something else.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this is all very intentional. As we mentioned, his exclusive concert done in a church. That's another way of a decade of just really wrapping yourself in the edgy atheist thing. I don't have any particular love for religious groups or far right groups or anything like that. It's this fucking guy.
Yeah, and we don't. I think the laws are bullshit, in that much. I'll give him that. I agree with him on that. But as you said, it's intentional. I think he knows about these laws and he just actively defies them because he thinks they're wrong so that he can make a statement. And hey, that's great if he wants to do that. But if he knows it's going to come at a major financial risk for himself, then that's fucking on him. He shouldn't be going and turning around to his fans and going, oh, hey, by the way, I'm up to this nonsense. Can you guys help me out?
I guess what gets me about this particular thing is, the circumstances in Poland are wildly different than they are throughout, many parts of the Western world. It's just this has been catnip for edgelords to say, like, you're being canceled and I'm standing for free speech. And it's the same kind of, like, gross, bottom of the barrel gutter kids that are just like the same kind of Reddit atheists that have evolved into what is now various alt-right figures. It's an internal fight that it doesn't make any logical sense, and I think everybody involved kind of sucks.
His whole shtick is like when you see someone take a picture of them standing on a grass, next to a sign that says "Do not stand on the grass." That's the same thing, except this is, you know, could end up in jail time. I know it's not exactly apples to apples, but this reminds me of in the 90s when Sinead O'Connor ripped up a picture of Pope John Paul II on Saturday Night Live and said, "Fight the real enemy." Her career was destroyed. She was done for after that. And this is just like, I'll give Nurgle $50 on GoFundMe because he has to pay a lawyer. It's kind of, you know, I know it's different genres and people and times have changed and stuff. It's just kind of interesting how that happens when this is just your shtick.
And to be fair, Sinead was totally vindicated even after the loss of everything.
Sure. The thing is, he's going to do this again. And whatever. Do your own thing. I don't like you. You're a bad person. I don't like the Polish government. They're bad people. No one wins except us because we get to laugh about it.
It's just two assholes puckering against one another.
Let exactly. them fight that gif.
Yeah.
Also, like, Olnergy is a wealthy celebrity in Poland. I don't think he's in any kind of real danger of losing his freedom or his millions of zloty.
I need the zloty, everybody. Just go on tour with Slayer again for a year.
Yeah. If I go to exactly. a Polish bakery, can I try a zloty?
Yeah, but they're like a weird bitter kind of pastry. It's fucking nasty.
Potato and bullshit.
But what you're going to get out of this is you're going to get a lot of nonsensical discourse from, you know, the same people that are, they can't go a sentence without saying the words cancel culture. And it's really, it's just adding to this awful discourse we have. The discourse could not be worse, fellas. And I don't know what to do about this when you have all of these people out there that have determined anything that rubs them the wrong way personally is a targeted cancel culture attack. It's kind of like somebody that thinks they need to wear tinfoil to keep the government from reading their brain scans. It's just like you have more gallons of the mouth.
It's just, you know, it's cultural Marxism run amok.
Yeah, and that one itself is actually extremely anti-Semitic on just at a glance, and I feel like this is just another shorthand version of that. I don't know. What do we do to cancel the cancel culture people or cancel the people that can't stop screaming about cancel culture more specifically? How can we win this war?
You kick them off social media?
That would be great. I didn't think about it until just now, but I think that I can probably like mute the words cancel culture on Twitter so I don't have to see these pants shitting freaks anymore.
Muting words has been a godsend for me, even like relatively benign stuff, just so it just doesn't upset me. Like you can just mute the word libtard. You'll never see it, even ironically, and that's fine.
That's why you don't see all of my posts.
Oh, that's because I muted you directly.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I think that might be good. I muted the words "let that sink in" a while ago.
But if you do that, I mean, does that mean you don't get the words "let" or "that" in any tweets?
No, it's a specific phrase.
It's a phrase. Okay, all right.
Like during the primaries, I muted like every candidate's name and misspellings of their names just so I wouldn't be sucked into anything annoying. It was pretty good.
I just I don't know. It's like I don't want to win on a technicality in those situations. I want to utterly defeat those people. And I just in sort of like this unsatisfying way, if you remove someone who rants and raves about cancel culture, when you remove them from social media, it validates their tinfoil hat wearing. It just makes them, it shows them that this is reality. It's true. Look what happened. The liberal media, look what they did to me. And I don't know, like, then they just are out in the world. I guess they're not my problem anymore, which is, like I said, I won on a technicality. But it's just like I wish there was some way I could humiliate them from their bottom to their top. Just absolutely shred their souls like a fucking food processor. You know what I mean? I just want to hurt these people emotionally.
I know what you mean. But I don't think it's possible because who is the other freak in Congress? The one with the fake Nintendo name?
Bobert.
Bobert, yeah. you know, years ago, her husband showed his dick to a bunch of teenagers at a bowling alley. And she was like fundraising off of people talking about that as her being a victim of cancel culture. You can't embarrass somebody that is willing to fundraise off her husband showing his dick to teenagers.
The governor of Montana, Greg Gianforte, tackled a reporter on air and hurt him during his run for Congress. It didn't stop him. He won. People thought it was great. Yay, assaulting a reporter. So there's no shame anymore. People just don't resign. It is what it is at this point. So the best you can do is to make sure as many people as possible don't see them, or, you know, punch them in the face live on camera so hard that their soul leaves their body and no one respects them anymore.
Yeah. It's just, the only solution is just beat them with hammers. Like, I don't know. I just put them in a burlap sack and just take large pieces of wood and just batter them silly until they stop. I don't have any other solutions.
I think that we have shown the failures of reasonable debate and discourse. And, you know, in the philosophy classes I took, you know, they're working on some real bullshit assumptions. Like when you're talking with someone that you are both acting in good faith, which has never once happened in human conversation.
No, I'm never acting in good faith. I just, you know, I'm correct, but it doesn't mean I'm a good person.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have an opponent that can't be embarrassed, can't be shamed, can't be silenced, maybe violence is the answer.
I think you just wrote your new hardcore EP, Gutter Death.
Good. Yes, absolutely. We can probably knock that one out this afternoon if you guys are free.
Yeah, got about 20 minutes.
We're
no
not going to take 9 months to fucking do it, and we're going to sell it for like more dollars than tracks.
We talk about it, we joke, we jape, but maybe we do need to just put a large volume of music out there for very specific audiences and see if we can get one to bite on it. Like, we can do a DSBM band that's focused entirely on, you know, circumcision.
Yeah, I don't want to see that album cover myself, but
a thrash metal album about how Subway footlong subs are really just 11 inches.
Yeah. Yeah. There's gotta be an audience for that one.
I've got a footlong for you.
A companion EP in which you proclaim that Jared Fogle was innocent.
Just Subway related metal genre.
I think this has legs, fellas. I think we can do something with it. I don't want to focus any more on Old Nergy more than we have to. Are there other things on the docket that we need to get cleared before we clock out for the day?
Live Nation is losing almost 100% of their revenue.
Huh.
And I see that with my hands in the air, happily celebrating.
Couldn't happen to a better bunch.
My wife got us tickets to see Letterkenny live. I believe it was through a Live Nation venue. And that, of course, did not happen due to the pandemic. That show has been canceled. Live Nation will not refund that money because they say it will be rescheduled in a future date. We're going on about a year of missing the show now. That money is never going to come back. We'll never see that show, but Live Nation did pocket that. So I assume that accounts for the 8% of revenue that they have maintained in this last quarter. Just money stolen directly from my wife.
Live Nation invoking the, but I don't want to give you your money back rule.
Yes, right. That's precisely what it is. I had never seen the CEO of Live Nation before this Rolling Stone story, and I don't know what else I was expecting. That's what it is. Michael Rapino, you knock off fucking Bruce Springsteen prick.
He's a guy.
He is a guy. If you've ever had a guy,
definitely.
This is the gangster boss of Live Nation.
I was going to say he looks like an ex-mob soldier who like turned state's evidence and just like admitted the whole thing thing, and now he goes on lectures at small colleges talking about what it was like to be in the mob.
He's a Henry Hill if there ever was one.
Goodfellas extra, yep.
Anyway, this it's a Live Nation, right? Like, well, if you can't do any events, you can't squeeze bands and venues and consumers. For every fucking cent you can get when there is any kind of live event, I assume that does put a hole in your pockets. It's down. They're down bad, fellas. revenue for the fourth quarter was down to $178 million. Again, all stolen from shows that will not be rebooked. From nearly $2.3 billion in the previous year. Overall revenue for 2020 about $8 billion less than in 2019. I'm not crying any tears for Live Nation or their platform Ticketmaster. I believe they are instruments of the devil, and we would be better without them. But what's got me about this particular story, Jordan, that you mentioned, is what is up with these stocks?
Well, as we talked about a few weeks ago, I don't care to know or want to know a lot about stocks and stock market. But I think a lot of this is now speculation, because concerts will come back eventually, and people are going to be very hungry to see live entertainment, all three of us included. We want to go see these things, whereas in the past it might have been, I don't want to drive an hour, I don't want to spend $80. Now we'd just be like, concerts, live music, being next to people, take my money.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see fucking Ale Storm or whatever horrifically embarrassing thing I would never go to in the past.
But you were going to go see the television show performance live?
The actors doing some kind, I don't know what the fuck they were. I liked the show. It seemed like a nice thing to attend.
I mean, the show is essentially them standing in one spot talking to each other for 29 minutes. So I assume being on stage, you could really just...
It's a play. Right. It's just a play.
Exactly. Essentially, yeah. The show is entirely dialogue. There is no action.
How are you going to get through it without subtitles, though?
That is actually a very valid question. I can't understand a fucking thing they're saying.
Right. You're just, everyone in the American audience will just sit in complete silence, wondering what's going on.
what's a Quebec Nordique? Someone explain it to me.
So the thing about the stocks, I mean, I guess the assumption is that they're like going to the moon. They're skyrocketing there or what?
Well, I mean, with the GameStop and AMC stocks, like, you know, GameStop was specifically an action against these huge shorts that would have sunk the company entirely.
Right.
And AMC, I think, was similar deal, trying to prevent total fucking failure by giving them a boost in operating revenue to make it through this. I don't know who in the fuck would want Live Nation to continue to exist another moment.
Well, I mean, we're talking about just like greedy shareholders. No one cares about the companies they're investing in. It's all about making that bank. So let's establish that first and foremost. But I'm assuming what was happening is that their stock has just been piss shit fucking low and just pennies on the dollar for so long because no one's been going to shows and there's been no speculation when they'd be coming back. And I think with the news that they're like just about bankrupt, the stocks were probably at an all-time freaking low. And there's certain people who have this like shareholding strategy where they buy it like it's fucking oranges on sale at the supermarket or something. They're just like, okay, this stock won't be a huge investment, but because it could possibly come back, I could make a ton of money on this if that happens, but I wouldn't lose anything if it stayed small. You know what I'm saying?
No, that makes sense. Like, I could see buying, you know, as low as you could, but right now, like, it's fucking going wild. Like, yeah. Now is not the time to do not buy this.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that's probably why it's going wild, is because all that greedy buying up happened maybe a week or two. I mean, not that long ago. And then when you buy stock, that's what makes it go up in price. So you get thousands or millions of people just fucking jumping on this like sharks just descending on a dying creature in the deep, you know, and it just, that's what just makes it go fucking bananas. It's like how Bitcoin like 50%ed every other week. It's just people keep buying it, you know.
Yeah, now's a good time to sell books.
Yeah. So the stock dropped down to $30 when the pandemic really hit in March. Yeah. Now it's at about 87. And the thing is, Live Nation is not bankrupt. They are not struggling. They have $200 billion in liquidity, apparently. And this is just a bad year for them, like, because there's no revenue coming in. Right. But in previous years, they have billions and billions of dollars because they charge people out the ass to go see Taylor Swift.
To essentially do nothing, fucking nothing.
Yeah.
You provide nothing and you just take a huge chunk, and that's how you make $200 billion by fucking stealing.
Like, thank you so much for letting me print a ticket before I got there. I was like, oh, cool, this show's going to be $20. Oh, $50 later, I have a fucking ticket.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever bought a ticket from Ticketmaster knows how much it hurts to buy a ticket from Ticketmaster because they just add fees upon fees upon fees. And two tickets for $40 becomes like $150 expense because you have the fees and maybe you have to pay for parking or you have to pay a fee to get it on your phone or this and that. So that's all free money for them. They're not doing anything.
Not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
I literally don't know what service they provide to the end user or the venue. I don't know what the fuck they're there for.
Well, it's sort of like a remora in nature. You know, it just suctions on and provides nothing of value and just takes.
They're like the character from Office Space, the older guy with the mustache who takes the orders from the customers and gives it to other people. Yeah, that's what they do.
What the hell is the matter with you?
I've got much fonder feelings for that particular guy than I do anything associated with fucking Ticketmaster.
Yeah, they could never come up with a killer idea like jump to conclusions, Matt. But, fuck, man. It's like, we've been to the Palladium, Jordan. That place is a shithole. Can't I just walk up to the person at the front and just be like, here's my money, let me in, you idiot? Like, why do I have to fucking go through all this shit?
You can, but then you still pay those fees, which is ridiculous.
For what?
A handling fee. Are you giving me a ticket?
Fuck off.
We spent a lot of time on this show in the past talking about how promoters are fucking scumbags, and we really don't spend enough time talking about the ultimate scumbag. This is what every 2-bit pay-to-play promoter dreams of being.
Like, does anyone actually like Live Nation that doesn't get money from them in some sort of fashion?
Okay, listeners, if you're a big Live Nation fan, go ahead and write into us.
it's like all of the promoters that we've talked about, they're just like any given weekly Spider-Man villain, just whatever animal mask you could slap together on some moron robbing a bank, correct. But fucking Live Nation is Kingpin. You know, it's just like he's the motherfucker in charge, so... Yeah, we should. I think we should talk more shit about that. But it's just like one of those just insane things that's just been a system for so long. And if you don't play that game as a venue, you probably can't play at all. And it probably has so much shit to do with things I don't understand. And maybe if we're lucky enough, some idiot in the comment section somewhere can explain the whole thing to us in paragraphs I don't want to read. But until then, all I can do is hate them. They might as well be collecting taxes. You know, they're just fucking shitty. I hate them so much.
When live music does come back, it'll be way different than it was before and way shittier. Oh my God, it's going to be so much shittier. All the venues that you like, the locally owned ones, those fuckers are gone. Instead, you can have, you know, with $200 billion in liquidity, Live Nation can go in and scoop up everything. So, you know, look forward to going to your local hole in the neck saloon and paying a $20 service charge to, to go piss in a urinal filled with ice.
To stand in the back of the venue because you need to spend an extra $50 to stand in the middle of the venue. You need to spend an extra $150 if you want to be in front.
It's going to suck. I don't know what we can do to ruin this business. If any, stock genius wants to tell us how we can bankrupt the company in some kind of hilarious trading places caper, let me know. I'm in. I don't have any money, but I'm in to support.
Just unleash bees in all the House of Blues venues.
That's nothing but a net benefit to society.
And we get honey out of it.
There we go. Again, this makes no sense to me. I hate it. It sucks. And I'm done with it. Don't want to think about it. Folks, is there anything else we ought to mention in brief before we get onto this?
Nope. Glad to have you back. And
I'm glad to be back.
We'll be, we'll be coming up on 300 episodes. So if anybody has any ideas for anything special we might want to do for that 300th anniversary show, let us know in the comments and we'll consider your opinion, maybe.
Yeah, let us know. Also, we recorded two episodes, me and Jordan did, right before all the shit hit the fan. I don't know what to do with those, but I'll put them up somewhere.
Just not tell anyone and put them up like a year from now as regular episodes. Yeah. And people are just really confused as to why we're talking about old news.
It's a super cool, super secret episode.
Yeah, these secret episodes will be heard somehow. Maybe I'll just put them on Patreon right now. I don't know. We'll figure that out. We also have a Patreon if you want to listen to secret episodes.
All right. Well, if that's it, I'll let you guys go. And hey, everybody, keep it metal. Keep it indoors and keep it safe. And we'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.
I'm locked up inside.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.